Jason.
Hi, Curtis.
Random Acts of Drinking.
Yeah.
Pints and Pairings exclusive special coming straight to you from Jason's rooftop.
Sometimes we call this Chez Poli or Cafe Poli. There was actually a cinema at one time, too. Right behind us, we put up a movie screen and did movies at night.
This is the view up here is fantastic, even though it's a heavy marine layer out there.
Hold on for the little bit of a
get
look
shaky. Hold on. Yeah, there could be worse places to host a beer podcast. You know, I appreciate.
It's a little foggy today, but normally we'd be able to see the islands too, the Channel Islands, if you will.
Above us, though, man, I'm gonna get my forehead. My forehead's gonna get sunburned today. I can feel it. Well, welcome to Pints and Pairings. I'm Curtis Taylor, also known as Hophead's Head.
And I'm Jason from Everybody's Hungry. And today we decided, why not just have a beer on the roof and eat a little bit of food to go with it. We've got some produce from last night's Rio Gozo CSA and some tortilla chips. And along with those items, we've got a great Iron Fist Pale Ale. And we also have the Golden Road 2020 IPA. The reason we're bringing in the produce is to see if we can get some of those food notes, some of the flavors of the purple top turnips, the speckled lettuce, maybe a little golden beet, and do a comparison. Are we getting any of those kind of things, or do they complement well with the two beers that we selected for today?
I'm guessing that we are. This is the Iron Fist and what Nelson the Impaler. This is the extra pale ale. This thing is full of hop, just grassy notes, vegetal hop, just a crazy hop bomb. It is
in, sure.
And for what we're doing right now, sitting in the sun, I can't think of much else that would be more refreshing than
I totally agree.
The style.
But to try to draw out some notes that maybe are not what we're expecting, I also brought up some fresh fennel, both the fronds and some sliced bulb, and some Fuji apple. So, you know, as you said, this beer right off the bat with the nose and the palate, it's going to be very grassy. There's a lot of grain notes and a real almost kind of almost a light hay kind of aspect. But there is fruit in there. I know there's fruit in there. There's going to be a Christmas that's going to come out. We just have to coax it a little bit with some maybe some apple and some tortilla chips for the saltiness to contrast with the sweetness, or the fennel, which is going to give us a really cool licorice and anise background to try to pull out some of the sweetness and a little bit of the sugar.
Yeah, the aroma is true to an ale. There's a fruity ester with this. It isn't necessarily the cleanest yeast, profile, you know, a neutral yeast. There's a certain amount of fruity esters coming through, and it's mixing with the hops to make this weird sort of lemon lime apple combination for me. And I don't know if I've had these three put together necessarily, but they're mixing together in my nose, in the glass, and I am inhaling the Nelson Impaler.
Well, you know what it's reminding me of a little bit too, because there's so much of a bready kind of reflection is, remember old school like Pizza Huts and Ponderosa and that, they've got their salad bar,
mm-hmm.
garlic croutons.
Oh.
There's a little bit of a butteriness that reminds me of the garlic, but then there's definitely that bready reflection that just says crouton for me.
I like it.
Oh, we have a surprise guest for today's Pints and Pairings. My wife, Bree, is coming out to enjoy the sunshine on the coast here. She's got a mixture. She loves fresh salads on days like today. When the sun's shining, you got fresh, you know, produce and salad and lettuce from the farm. So she's going to have a nice concoction. We may need to give her a little sip and see how the beer works with her salad mixture.
I think so. Should I pull the food over here?
Let's do it.
All right. So Jason and I were manually holding. I guess I could have brought.
We could have
put it on a tripod. I guess.
Yeah, it could have been a mic stand, but it wouldn't be as cool. It wouldn't be as fun because then we couldn't get in close and be like, "I'm Walter Cronkite."
So I want to show this real quick.
So on the
good shot.
On the plate, we've got Fuji apple, some blue cordon tortilla chips. We've got fresh fennel. There's golden beets, purple top turnips, and some speckled leaf lettuce.
All righty. Put that right here in front.
Now, looking at the plate, Curtis, I'll give you the first choice of what you think would be a nice, easy pairing or compliment.
The chips.
Tortilla chips are my favorite anyway. We've talked to the fact that if I were stranded on a desert island somewhere with only one food item or food group to hold me over till rescue, it would be chips and salsa.
Salsa bar.
Yep, salsa bar.
There it is. You know, I'm excited to try the lettuce to see how the flavor is. One of the things growing up in South Dakota is the only lettuce flavor I knew of was iceberg lettuce.
Yeah, and it was a pretty typical staple in the Midwest as well.
And so when I was starting to become introduced to other lettuces, I was amazed at the actual different flavors. Not only flavors, but textures and everything else. So I'm interested in seeing that. I don't know if I've had the red leaf speckled
We've had a couple different variations of this lately in the CSA box. It's really nice to get such a variety. At one point, 1 week, I think we had 5 different varieties of lettuce in our box. The speckled trout is very similar to this, more of a butter leaf or round leaf lettuce that's on the plate. And they give a slight bitterness, a little bit of pepperiness, but especially as you get down to the really young and tender leaves at the very base and the core, or the heart, if you will, they get kind of sweet. They get a little bit of a sugary component that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and I actually, as I was chewing through it, and the more bitter tops down to the sweet stem close to it, that was what was left in my mouth after I took a...
So that was a similar compliment from the swallow of your last drink of beer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then how it smooths the hop flavors out for me in the beer. It took a lot of the grassiness. It really contrasted against that, brought those way down to a level that I would have expected out of maybe... I don't know, a blonde ale or something.
It does have a little bit of a nice, almost Tangelo kind of zest or pith as well once you bite through that lettuce. Because there is a little bit of a sweetness, as you said, down in the stems. But the edges and those burgundy speckles give it a bitterness that plays with the hops and then allows that final fruitiness to come through just a little bit.
And it takes the same... The lettuce takes the same flavor... trajectory as the beer does too, so it's especially if you're starting at the tops where you have the more bitter, and then it kind of slides down into the sweeter. That's kind of what's happening with this beer as well. Is you get hit up front with the hop, the bitterness, and then the hop flavor, and then it gradually gives way to those sweeter esters that we were talking about that we could get in the nose. Those are there in the flavor as well.
Yeah, and especially as this beer is warming up, it's getting a little more of a tropical profile. Get a little bit of a like canned pineapple kind of smell that's starting to show itself just a little bit.
Right. So I think I'll go to the turnips. One of the, I just cut up 4 turnips out of my CSA box last night, but we haven't had the purple tops yet. We've had just white, regular. I don't know. I mean, if they've got a special name or not. But those have, turnips have that, I'll let you kind of explain it, because it's hard for me to explain the flavors of the turnip.
This one is interesting because it's got an astringency to it. There's definitely going to be a peppery, gingery bite that finishes. But the initial first crunch through it, there's a little bit of a sweetness, almost like a jicama potato kind of combination. So it's not as sugary sweet as a jicama, but it does have a little bit of sweetness there. And then again, consistency-wise, it's like a crisp raw russet potato, but then it finishes with that peppery, you know, in wasabi root. Wasabi or radish is going to be a good complementary term in terms of the finish.
Right. Yeah, that peppery was what I was trying to get at, where it's a wonderful crisp, dry sort of root to eat, and then you just a tiny bit of sweetness up front, and then it gives way to, on some of these, depending on their sizes and going down to small, a more radish component, a or spiciness, I should say, towards the end of it.
And I think for me, the turnip, it overpowers a little bit the pale here. Mm-hmm. There's enough of that gingery, radishy kind of film that creates or covers your mouth. The beer acts more of a wash.
Yeah,
it's a cleanser, but it kills some of the depth and complexity of the pale.
Mm-hmm. I think that when I took a drink right after that, the true to hops and carbonation, they kind of accentuate that spicy character just a little bit. And so as those two were coming together, it heightened that pepper just a tiny bit, which helped them flow for me, though. So from one to the next, from not necessarily two separate tastes, here's your turnip flavor and here's your beer flavor.
Right.
But there was this gray area kind of for me where they melded together.
I can appreciate that. Well, I want to go to the fennel next, but before we do that, I'm going to jump to the chip just as a cleanser, just to really get rid of some of that radishy turnip flavor. And again, I could eat these by the bagful. These are the blue corn tortilla chips from Trader Joe's, the staple in the Hendrick household. We have to have a bag of these or a bag of Santitas at all times.
Yeah, the blue corn chips are my favorite. I think they could use maybe just a touch more salt generally for my – but then – I just got done reading an article about how we as Americans and the world population, that it's not good for us, no matter what we do. But it's like, oh, it tastes so good. What? Salt-cured meats? Come on.
And it's horrible timing for that report, considering the trends of all the flavored salts and the different varieties that are coming to market from all over the world. Just last night in our chili, I put a nice heaping amount of applewood smoked salt to create a smokiness, but also a little bit of a sweet and salty aspect of the chili. I don't know what I'd do these days without different kinds of salt in my cupboard. I think I've got 6 or 7 just in one cupboard alone.
I know, and I have a whole cupboard full, and I have been, and I've had them for a long time, probably 2 years. And I just forget that they're there, and I never, ever use them. I've got to get to those.
You got
to
do it, man. I've got a sriracha salt that I haven't opened yet. I'm waiting for the right occasion to do that. I have a pink Indian salt that a salt company talked to me about at a food show. And it actually has a sulfury tone to it. Mm. It's got a characteristic that lends like scrambled eggs or sulfury eggs that I guess a lot of vegans and vegetarians use this salt to trick themselves a little bit with their, you know, because they don't eat, especially if they're vegan, they're not eating any eggs. But you can use tofu and other ingredients to mimic the consistency of eggs and then sprinkle some of the salt, and it gives you the aroma of eggs and a little bit of a flavor.
It's all about tricking your mind.
You know what? I could use some more of that, actually.
I'm going to tell you, put that one in the shade there, and then we'll so this is how much I appreciate the effort that you've put on this plate, and the just to play along with the show is I don't like beets.
You don't like beets?
I do not like beets. But this is the thing, that there are some beers that I don't like, but then when they're paired with the right food, boom, I can drink that beer with that combination all day long. And so there are plenty of times where I go, but I do it just because. All right. Because
take one for the team.
Well, and it's not so much necessarily taking one for the team, because there's a certain amount of ego in it for me too, is that I want to try it. I mean, and so just to know whether or not I can like it, or at some point I can pull, you know what, you don't like beets now, but wait till you try it with this beer kind of.
Sure.
Kind
of. And these are golden beets that we've got. It's got a nice orange skin, so it's deceiving on the outside in terms of its name, but when you slice through it, it's got this great yellowy color, almost like a nectarine or a peach, a nice young peach. It's going to have a little bit of a sugariness to it and kind of a neutral skin. The bitterness is pretty low on this, in my opinion.
So, and really what it is it's about beets is it's after the sweetness is gone, mm-hmm. and after the bitterness is gone, and then it's the exhale, it's the vapor.
I agree with that. There, it's very similar to a lot of other tuber style vegetables. Parsnips do the same thing for me, where they can be really great up front, but there is a certain level of there's an effect that makes you salivate. There's some kind of chemical or flavor component that just lingers right down in the corners of your jowls and makes you salivate. And sometimes that's a little off-putting for me too, especially if it's an older beet or parsnip or turnip, because they're all very similar in that regard. But especially when you blanch them, if purple beets are the same way. When you blanch them nice and you slice them right, you lose some of that astringency.
Well, there's a beet hummus, and you've got to have the fuchsia colored beets when you do this. I mean, you can do them with any of them, but if you don't use the fuchsia colored ones, then they turn this sort of mauvey, gray, brain matter-ish sort of color, you know? And it's not appealing. It still tastes the same. But when you have
the fact that you threw in brain matter as a descriptor.
Well, because, you know, we've all seen a Pulp Fiction, so we kind of know what brain matter looks like. But what I'm talking about is with this hummus, it has, you know, pine nuts, and it has olive oil, and it has some other things. So, and it's just this beautiful color, and that is the best way that I've ever had beets prepared, where I can actually take a couple and kind of enjoy it. But it's everything up until the vapor that just kind of kills it for me. But if you're struggling for that, just do a web search for beet hummus, and you'll find it.
I think for us right now, the beet is very similar to the turnip, where there's a melding of the flavors a little bit, and it showcases the grassiness of the beer, because there is a little sweetness, a little sugary component in the beet itself. I'm not sure kind of what direction you were feeling on that one, but I think for me, it's a nice contrasting aspect with a little bit of a muddling in the middle kind of wash of the two.
I'm glad that I tried it.
We'll leave it at that.
So now next we've got the fennel. And fennel, I had no idea what fennel was until I got my first CSA box and it had this big bulb.
Oh, really?
And so when we were sniffing it, we're trying to figure out, what is that smell? What is that? And then all of a sudden, anise or black licorice started to come out, and we learned how to cook with it and incorporate it into salads and stir fries and other things. And it's a staple now.
Yeah, and it adds great crunch, that kind of subtle black licorice anise flavor can heighten some other flavors, especially in a stir fry. I didn't think about doing a stir fry, but it makes sense to me. If you're adding, you know, fresh ginger and soy sauce and that, it's going to be a great complement to some of those flavors.
Yeah, and it holds well too. So where some of the other stuff might get a little soggy if you leave that in the stir fry a little bit, you know, this is stuff that holds up well with the onions and some of the other things that you kind of put in just a little bit earlier in it too.
What's your initial take with the beer?
I haven't had it yet, so I'm getting ready for that. I'm not sure how the licorice is going to go with such a pronounced hop flavor, though. So I'm curious to see.
You know, it's not my favorite pairing. It leads me naturally down through a Good and Plenty kind of direction. Obviously, Good and Plenty's, the base of those is a black licorice nub. But I think the component that the beer is offering is almost a sugar coating.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit of a sweetness in the fennel, but the black licorice is the more pronounced flavor profile. The beer, I think there's just enough of a sweetness in the base of this beer too, that it adds that kind of sugary, filmy coating that is reminiscent of a Good and Plenty.
I think the Good and Plenty is that the beer is actually accentuating that idea. And
sure.
And if anything, the beer helps to pronounce the licorice flavors. The green hoppies, they're there, but they don't.
They get stricken down a little bit by the fennel.
And they don't, you know, grate against it. It's not like they're butting heads, and there's still a really nice sort of flow. And I was hoping that would be what kind of happened with this. I could see that. To accentuate the sweetness and the almost, you know, it's almost giving it that black, almost like a dark chocolate sort of feel afterwards, and that's certainly from the fennel too.
Yeah, as you inhale, it's not chocolatey, but it does have that finishing almost aspirin kind of bitterness of a 80 or 90% dark chocolate.
And that wasn't there with the fennel, and so that's coming from the hop and the hop aftertaste.
Sure.
As we're Excellent. So I like that. I think it's certainly an unusual.
I think if there's some other ingredients where either the essence of a fennel, like a black licorice direction, was used, or some incorporation of other ingredients to make it a better melding, mm-hmm. And it actually be a nicer pairing. You know, I don't dislike it, but it's definitely not my favorite. But going back to what you're talking about, incorporating fennel into your regular ingredient list, yeah, I could even see taking away the fennel, but using that black licorice component, if you're able to incorporate that into it, like a dark chocolate mousse or something with the black licorice undertone and maybe some vibrant like mint or basil or something to complement with a little bit of a fruit coulis, and it actually might work out really well with this beer.
There was something that I was going to go with it, and then it just kind of spaced off. But it had to do with there we go. See, now I knew it would come to me. If I stuttered
just, like a boomerang.
If I stuttered long enough, it was going to come back to me. But so this is the plate that you have here is this wonderful range of array of flavors. And so I think in that this fennel is playing its part as a distinct flavor component on this tray, and just enjoying a beer pairing experience of how is this food impacting the flavor of this beer? How is this beer impacting the flavor of the food? I think that in itself, that one is the highlight so far of the tray, because it had some really exciting and interesting sorts of flavors that are melding and just kind of lingering with it. So I think you should try it, is the short.
I agree with that. Before I finish this last little squig, we do have some Fuji Apple, which I think should be a pretty safe and nice pairing to go with it. Again, the Fujis are going to be a little more softer. They're a slightly mealier style red apple. You know, the skin is typically red to yellowish green. Good sweetness, but it's not a crisp, it's not a sharp edge sweetness.
And that's kind of, it's, they're, for me, the apple and the beer, the apple really cut that beer. There, I don't know if it was the apple juice, the pulp, whatever it was, or even the little bit of skin, the little bit of bitterness, crisp from the skin, it completely overpowered the beer for me.
No, I agree. I was a little disappointed, to be honest.
Right.
Because it was really grassy on that first impact to my tongue, and then it went away.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no other depth to the beer after eating the apple.
Right.
Yeah. So I would have to chalk that one off the list.
Right. As you're going through, if you had three or four other beers that you were trying, you know, in the sampler, let's try the apple with something else. You're going to find something that works. So.
And we may have an opportunity here, because we do have the, again, Golden Road 2020 IPA, that it's going to have a little more aggressive hot presence, and we're going to switch off so that you don't.
No, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I don't want you to end up getting like tennis wrist or anything.
Carpal tunnel. It is my mouse hand, by the way. It is already. It's already like
claw.
It's my claw. It'll be okay. So the 420, the 2020. The 420. Whatever. It's your neighbors.
Yeah,
they got me.
So
they got me thinking 420.
Is this got a great color to it? It's got a really nice caramely amber color.
It is beautiful.
And with the wonderful sunshine today, it's easy for everyone at home to see this through the video, and the reflection in the glass is just amazing. It's got a nice kind of biscuity vanilla head in terms of color.
I think it's pulling out of the Logitech now. Oh, no, it is. Okay.
We'll edit that piece out.
There it is. So, but the lettuce, the lettuce and the beer, that would be a nice bridging layer between the food and the beer. Together, the lettuce is completely lost.
Now, I think the beet actually is a nice pairing. I know, again, referring to your anti-beetness, the beet for me takes the beer into a more of a spice kind of realm. So it doesn't lose its maltiness, but it takes it more into almost a cumin or a cardamom and like a garam masala kind of direction.
I have no idea what garam masala is. But
it's like a five spice that's used in a lot of Chinese cooking.
Well, I agree with you that it really kicked up the spice of the beer. It was I drank the beer before I got the beet vapor.
Okay.
And so it's the best. So now I know the best way for me to eat beets
is just to chew it
and enjoy the sweetness and then throw back an IPA over the top of it. But it did. It had a really nice spice. It really accentuated the spiciness of the hops that are, you know, I would be interested to see what kind of hops that they have. But there are certainly some kinds of hops that will give you a spicy note. Spicy and floral notes.
Yeah, sadly they didn't reveal the secret recipe on the can.
Bummers. But so that's it's good to know though. So I'm gonna go for the fennel while you're playing with the can.
Interesting. There. Yeah, I'm surprised you went for the fennel before the apple.
I thought the apple
was gonna be a cleanser for you.
I'm gonna try all of them.
Let's do it.
All right. So again, the fennel, black licorice sort of flavor. There's a sweetness as it sits. And just kind of gets mashed in and around. The black licorice really becomes pronounced. You get away from the crunchy sweetness.
Oh, really? Let me jump in. Let me check it out. Now, just as a disclaimer for the show, and credit to my buddy Eric, Pints and Pairings today brings you Pints and Produce. And that name actually came out of our Tuesday night CSA deliveries. Because we're splitting this box typically week after week with my buddy Eric, who lives below us, homebrewer, and there's just too much produce. So one day I said, hey, why don't you bring up some of your homebrew while we're washing lettuce and whatnot, and we'll divvy up the selection in the hall, and we'll do a little Pints and Produce night. So this could be the start of a regular series for Pints and Pairings, where we bring in some different vegetables and fruits and try it against the beer.
Thanks, Eric. Sounds good to me. So the beer did this really for me. I'll let you take your drink and let you formulate your opinions first. Okay, time's up. But it really it really blew the licorice up for me. It really accentuated the anise flavors, or anise, however it's pronounced, and then the malt helped to really wash away some of those. We're talking earlier about kind of that candy, dark chocolate sweetness that kind of lingers a little bit.
Yeah.
The beer really washes all of that
away. No, I totally
agree.
And for me, my mother loves black licorice. I grew up with her having black licorice and Good and Plenty's in the house. They're kind of a standard for movie nights and whatnot. My issue with black licorice is that lingering, dark chocolatey bitterness kind of effect. This, you get the nice, with the pairing of the 2020 IPA, you get a nice anise flavor without the aftertaste.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good pairing in that mm-hmm. way.
Yeah, I think that if you don't care for fennel, that this might be a way for you to keep that in check, same way as that I would keep a beet in check with this beer. But you know, you think of the way that you would use this in a fresh salad too,
and the fronds are overlooked typically for fresh salad. You can grate the bulb, you can slice it thin, but the fronds are delicate, and they're in terms of a textural or a mouthfeel kind of direction, they're really subdued. Right, you're not gonna notice as much that they're in there, but they do offer a little punch of flavor, and I think it's a really great way to leverage as much of the vegetable as possible. If you like fennel normally and you're buying it with the stalk still on, try pinching off a few of the little fronds and tossing them into a fresh salad, or use them as part of your rub, like on a great pork.
Mm.
Incorporate that into, you know, your garlic and your pestos to add a little bit of that anise flavor, and I think it would really kick up your pork loin and your pork chops.
Yeah, and actually, I cut all of the tender spots off. So we were talking earlier off camera about I usually don't use the green tops to any of my vegetables, the beets, the carrots, the whatever, all these edible ones, except for this one, because they're so tender and it packs that flavor punch in there in a salad that you don't have to sit there and crunch through something. So it's a great way to add that in.
Well, we've been mowing down on the chips too as a palate cleanser, but what's nice about this beer is it wants the saltiness. There's enough sweet maltiness there. And there's enough of that caramelized sugar, that almost kind of butterscotchy hazelnut mix of the malt backbone, that when you eat that chip and the salt, you know, they kind of come back into a nice level balance.
You know, I wanted to, I took a big whiff of the apple just to kind of reintroduce myself to its aromas, and then took a big whiff of the beer. The aroma, the hop aroma, the floralness has really bloomed in this all the way around. There is the tropical notes that are in the tropical hop aromas are really coming through in my, and I don't know if they're just sitting in this bowl and warming up in the sun, whatever it is, but it is more hop tropics than, you know, it is the spicy malt.
I do get
flavors.
Some of the, like a guava, papaya kind of note, but also there's a floral that's a true flower for me. You know, we've been to Carlsbad, California before, when all their flower fields are in full bloom and they're harvesting, and there's a muddled, not a perfumey floral, but there's a like a honey blossom or a, I'm not real versed in my flower varieties, but there is a muddled floral nose that's not as tropical for me. It doesn't remind me of, you know, palm trees and the beach, but it reminds me of a flower field.
I think the florals are certainly there. For some reason, tropical is standing out for me, and I don't know what I've come across that is reminding me that of that.
Maybe you just need a vacation.
Maybe I do. Maybe that's what it is. But the I'm interested for you to taste the apple. And then, have you done these two together yet? Did you just try it?
I did, but it was a small bite, and I really let the apple swallow and dissipate before I took the beer. So let's go a little more in tune.
So give it a shot. So certainly the flower, the floral, whatever florals you're picking up, it's full of it. For me on this, it was real similar to the other beer we had. The beer really just, after the apple, it almost kills the beer. And maybe Fuji apples just aren't the things to try and put together with the pale ale series.
Yeah, and I agree. There's a it really leaves kind of an off-putting bitterness on the breath, almost like a I'm trying to think of a great comparison, and I'm struggling, but it's not exciting.
Right.
The best I can come up with is, you know, we were talking about parsnips earlier, but not a fresh parsnip. It's like a one that's about 3 or 4 days old, where it gets a little rubbery. But the bitterness is definitely not exciting to me. Almost you know, it's coming to me a little bit more. We've got some really fresh frisée.
Mm.
And I think frisée by itself or incorporating a salad, there's a really great bitterness that balances against other ingredients like goat cheese and cranberries and, you know, vinaigrettes. But unfortunately, in the context of a beer, frisée is not a good flavor for me, and there's too much bitterness. This has almost like a aspirin-y finish.
So when we were talking about the fennel early on, and one of the things that came to my mind, though, is I have done frisée salads. So I take a frisée, and then I put grapefruit slices on top of it.
Okay.
And then so you've got this kind of mix, which is almost an IPA to a T. So you've got the bitterness of the frisée. You've got the grapefruity.
So the grapefruit is going to bring down the bitterness just a little bit with its great citrus juices. Mm-hmm. Even though it can be bitter and a little sharp, I can see how those would be nice.
And so initially that's what I was thinking, was put a little bit of fennel in this and pair it with this beer. But there isn't a lot of grapefruit. One of the really great beers that I like to pair with that is Sierra Nevada's Ruthless Rye. There's a ton of grapefruit in that. There's the spiciness of the rye. It all kind of comes together with the bitterness of the frisée, a little bit of arugula maybe for some spice, and it's almost like making the beer salad.
An IPA and a belt.
Right. But going back to, and then coming back to the apples is, as we've had beers before where we've talked about pears and how that would be a nice pairing with it. So I know that there's got to be a beer that apples will go with.
I just think this isn't the right variety. No. I think that your point earlier was very poignant, that Fuji and its dimension in terms of that kind of mealier meat and texture, and then that muddled sweetness is not the right one. Typically, what we're going to see great pairings is with a sharper green apple. Or there's a great new variety that I've been gravitating lately, and it's a pinata. And it's got the vibrancy and sharpness and almost citric component of like a green apple, a Granny Smith style. But then it's got a backbone of great heartiness like the Fuji and the Red Delicious. And I would recommend trying out the Piñata.
Yeah, that'd be nice to try. I haven't even heard of that one yet, so it'd be a nice one. This was a great impromptu sort of pairing from the rooftop, Jason's apartment. We're overlooking the ocean, although it's fogged in. You are looking back over our shoulders.
But I think to do justice to our audience, we'll let them finish with a little shot of the ocean front without making them car sick. So this will be your closing view. And there we go. Now we're in level. So this has been an impromptu Pints and Pairings featuring Pints and Produce.
Pints and Produce. I like that, Jason. I like it a lot.
So this is Curtis with Hophead Said, and I'm Jason with Everybody's Hungry, saying thanks for joining us today.
Remember to always eat, drink, and be hoppy.
We'll see you at the next pour.
Cheers.